You guys are so awesome. All right, before I start, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have together with you, Lord. We just invite your word to come with truth and with power, Lord, that our hearts would be open to receive, that our ears would be open and ready to hear, that our mind would understand what you have for us today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is relevant and true and life-giving and good to us every day, all the time, because you are good. Lord, we just thank you. We love you and we welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the title of my message for tonight is Affirm. And I'll expand on that a little bit later. But I'd like for all of us to turn in our Bibles or look on the screen to Luke 18. Now, please bear with me. I'm not used to using my iPad for this, but I need some multiple versions, so We're going to do this thing. Oh, I just opened right onto it. Have any of you guys ever done that? Anyways, I flipped open the Bible and it like, oh, right there. Awesome. All right, so Luke 18, starting in verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 8. This is the parable of the persistent widow. Verse 1 says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Now, that parable can preach just by itself. I mean, you know, God is faithful. He is faithful. He is good. But the part that I wanted to focus on right now is just how many, it says at the end of verse 8, when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? And we've talked about this recently in a couple different sermons, that when Jesus comes back, he is going to be looking for people who have faith. People who have faith, people who have been standing firm. And how many of you know that it's important to pay attention to what God is saying? If God is telling us something, if we're listening to anybody, right, it should be God. Anybody. You know, that's the most important thing. And about a month or so ago, there was a theme that God was telling us about. He was telling us about his spirit, about his character, who he is, who the Holy Spirit is, the character of the Holy Spirit, how to walk and display his glory. And it's been seeming, well, if we remember Isaiah 61:3, where the Lord, you know, in the word it says that we are called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the displaying of his splendor, a planting of the Lord. And that is so key to what God is telling us now in this time. God is telling us with all these people, and I'll list them right now, but, you know, we need to listen. Everybody say, I'm listening. I'm listening. God has been telling us to stand firm. Stand firm in our faith. Stand firm in the promise. Stand firm. That's been a resounding key message that he's been had with Mark Bowling. He preached on faith. Then Calvin, he preached on a plan for revival, standing on the promise. Eric talked about standing firm. And then Calvin again, the faithfulness of God, that even when we mess up, even when we're, you know, whatever, God is faithful. Even when we're unfaithful, he is faithful because he cannot change who he is. God cannot lie. He cannot change who he is, and he is faithful. So God has been telling us to stand firm. It says right here in the word, Jesus said about himself, but when the Son of Man, you could change that and say, but when I, Jesus, return, how many will I find on the earth who have faith? How many will I find that have faith? Mark Bowling said an awesome, I'm going to quote him. He said that our expectation is his invitation for his manifestation. Our expectation is the invitation for his manifestation. So when we expect our expectation, you could plant faith in there. You know, our faith, what we're standing on, what we're persuaded about is the invitation for manifestation. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, here we go. All right. Ooh, there we go. There. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 6, 10. Talks about the whole armor of God. I know that most of us know this. We've talked about this a lot. But Ephesians 6:10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that is the whole armor. But if we look at it, it says in verse 11, stand firm. To stand, that's a verb. That means you have to do it. In verse 13, it says resist. That's a verb. It takes action. We have to do it. And then in verse 14, it says stand your ground. That's another verb. It's action. We have to do it. Stand firm. In the New King James Version, it says that having done all to stand, stand. So having done everything to stand, that means you do everything to make sure that we are standing firm, that we are not persuaded, that we are not knocked down or knocked over. We are going to stand. And if we have all these things, you know, and it talks about the whole armor, that we will. So we can say when we stand on the word, when we stand in the promise, when we stand with our God, we will. We're going to stay standing. Do the whole thing. Hallelujah. So let's go to Hebrews 10, verse 35. All right. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 35, says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. So when we stand firm, we receive all that he has promised. When we endure, when we continue in the faith, it says here, then you will receive all that he has promised. Not you might, not maybe, not perhaps, if you're lucky. It says you will. You will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, verse 37, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. By what? Faith. The righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we, say we, are not like those who turn away from God into their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. We are the faithful ones. The church is called to be faithful. We are called to be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display his splendor. God has planted us and called us to be faithful because we are made in his image and he is faithful. He is faithful. So we are faithful. We are called to be faithful. Irene Dunn, or Dunn, however you say that, famous quote, I'm sure we've heard it in some form. It says that if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. You know, if we don't take a stand for something, we fall for anything. If we don't stand and take our stand and say, I will not be moved in this situation, regardless of what I see, regardless of what anybody's telling me, the word says it and I have it. If we don't stand, we're going to fall. We're still in Hebrews 10, right? All right. Let's go back a few verses to verse 23. Eric talked about this just, you know, the other week. We had it up there on the wall for a couple years. I mean, we should know this. We should know this, right? Know that we know that we know. In verse 23, it says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." I'm going to read that again. "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." How awesome is that? That is our God. He can be trusted to keep his promise. Always. Hold on just a second. Here we go. I love the way the NIV version says it. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. If God gave us a promise, whatever that be, whether that be, you know, a relative coming to the Lord, or us seeing something happen, or whatever it is, if God promised it, it aligns with his word, then it says, hold tight because God is faithful. Hold tight because our God is faithful. And when I read that in the New Living, it says the hope we affirm. I'm like, well, what does that really mean, affirm, to affirm something? And like, it's one of those words where you kind of know. And so, like, I know what that is, but not really. So I looked it up. Merriam-Webster, you know, if you're going to look it up in any dictionary, use Merriam-Webster. He was a Christian, so. Verb. To affirm is a verb. That means it's an action. It means you have to do it. It says, it means to say something is true in a confident way. That alone, I mean, we can know the word, but if we're not saying it in a confident way, you know. We gotta believe and know what we know and say it in a confident way. So it means to say something is true in a confident way, to show a strong belief or dedication to something. In the court of law, it means to decide that the judgment of another court is correct, to validate or confirm. So that means that we have decided that what God's word says is correct, that we are declaring it, we are validating it, confirming it, as the truth. That's it. So if the word says it, that's what it is. It is what it is. So it's to declare something. And you notice in all these things, Ephesians, Hebrews, you know, these things, there's a lot of verbs in there. It's telling us to stand firm, hold tightly, you know, resist. Those are all action words. That means it takes effort. You know, it's easy to have faith and be happy when everything in your life is perfect. But when, you know, the doo-doo hits the fan, what happens? What happens? You know, where is our faith? It's an action. It takes effort. The word says that what? Faith without works is what? Dead. Faith takes action. Faith is an effort. You have to work on it. Sometimes you don't, you know, like, I mean, think about Abraham and Isaac. How long did Abraham have to wait to get Isaac? How old was Abraham? I mean, but he believed God. The word says that he was counted as righteous because of his faith. He was persuaded that God could bring new things out of nothing and bring the dead back to life. And what does the word say? Hebrews 11:1, you know, about faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, things yet unseen. But I love that because if you change that, it's not seen yet. Yet means what? That we will see it. Yet means it is coming. So we're having faith for something we're not going to see yet. But he who promised is faithful. And when we get to see that thing, then we get to move on and have faith for another thing. You know? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we move from glory to glory as we're being, you know, molded into the image of God, as we're being transformed with him, we go from glory to glory. So once we believe for something, we see it, we reach that, we give God that glory and that awesome whatever, you know, and then we just move on to the next thing. And we move on to the next thing, and we're going up and up and up, always. Hallelujah. So when we believe the promise, we stand on it, receive it, then we get another hope to stand on, something else. Because he who made the promise is faithful. So Ephesians 6 told us to stand. Stand therefore. Hebrews 10 told us to affirm or declare our hope, whatever we're hoping for, to declare it. And really, if we think about it, if we are not declaring or speaking hope, what are we declaring? What are we speaking? Exactly. Doubt, unbelief. Proverbs 18:21 is a powerful, powerful verse. It says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. It doesn't say that talking is bad. It's saying that whatever you are saying, you are going to reap the consequences thereof. So if you are speaking life, then what do you get? If you are speaking death, then what do you get? We are called and told in the word to declare or affirm our hopes and our faith, the promises that we are standing on. And if we can't speak it out of our mouth, then there's a disconnect. Then we're not really believing it. So good or bad, whatever we're allowing to come out of our mouth is what we will have. Because we are made in the image of God, and God himself created with his word. And we are also in his image, we create with our words. Life and death are from the power of our words, the power of the tongue. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it quotes Psalms 116. The psalmist said, I believed in God, so I spoke. I believed in God, so I spoke. So what we believe, we should speak it. And have you ever noticed like how people who don't believe are so, they say it so easily. You know, people who have, you know, they just don't believe in God, they're atheists, whatever. At least in my occurrence, it's easy for them to just say it. And why is it so hard for us sometimes to speak what we believe? We believe in God. We need to take that, at least for me, take it and plant it in our hearts. I believed in God, so I spoke. If I believe it, then it should be coming out of my mouth. And I should hear myself saying it. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Even if it's, and most importantly, if it's hearing yourself. Because if you can't say it, if you can't believe it, then how can you receive it? You know, the pastor can say it. That's awesome, pastor. You know, the person on the radio or TV, they can say it. Or that awesome woman from prayer group, she can say it. But if we can't bring ourselves to declare the promises that we're standing on, if we can't bring ourselves to say, you know, my parents, they're going to serve the Lord. They're coming. My kids, you know, they're God's. They belong to God's, and it's just going to be awesome. If we can't, whatever your promise is, if we can't bring ourselves to say it, then how can we expect to receive it? Because the word says, we believed in God. He said, I believed in God, so I spoke. Faith comes by hearing. So when you hear yourself speak the promises of God, something inside of you just ignites. We talked about that with praise and worship, how God inhabits the praises of his people. That when we praise him, there's something, you know, a praise and worship song can be good. I mean, there's a lot of songs that are good songs that don't necessarily glorify God. They have a lot to do with ourself, you know, me, I, those type of things. But you notice, at least for me, and I know some of you too, you notice so quickly there's something about just worshiping God that automatically it just bumps it to the next level. You just hit that place. It's because when we take ourselves out of the picture and focus on God, focus on who he is, we enter into his presence. We get to where he is and our spirit man has a party inside of us. I mean, there's just some, you just feel good. Like when we were saying, how great is our God? We weren't saying, God, you know, I'm believing you for this and whatever, whatever. We were just saying, God, you're great. And everything else that I need just falls in line to your greatness. It's all just encompassed in who you are. Everything I need, everything I hope for, you are good, God, and you're great. And you give me everything that I need. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55:11. Let's go there, because I don't want to quote it inaccurately. Isaiah 55:11. This is the Lord talking. It said, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. And we just read in Proverbs 18:21 that we create life and death by what we say. We will reap the consequences thereof. And being made in the image of Christ, what we say produces fruit, whether that's good or bad. We will reap the consequences of what we say, what we're claiming, what we're standing on. And faith is what? Substances of things hoped for, things not yet seen. So when you're saying something that you don't necessarily see yet, it's not a lie. You are just declaring and speaking the truth of God's word and claiming it in your life and commanding it to produce the fruit thereof. Because the word says it will always produce fruit, accomplish all that I want it to, and prosper everywhere I send it. So if we start sending the word out over a situation, declaring the word, what is it going to do? It's going to accomplish its purpose and it's going to prosper. So stand firm in what we say. Stand firm. Perfect love casts out all fear. There is no fear in love. Faith is not fearful. Those are antonyms. They do not go together. Faith and fear cannot be in the same room together. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that I have not given you the spirit of fear, and the New Living Translation says and timidity. It says but of power and of love and of sound mind or self-discipline. So God has given us those things, power, love, and self-discipline. There's no fear in there. There's no fear in there. And we can stand firm without fear because why? The one who made the promise is faithful. He who made the promise is faithful. The word says that God cannot lie. He cannot change who he is. So whatever God says is. I mean, he said, let there be, and there was. So if God says that it is, then it is. That's it. He is the end all be all. He is the truth. Not what we see is the truth, but he is the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something I noticed, just a side note, was that, you know, fear and peace are also not in the same place together. Fear and peace. When you're peaceful, if you notice in the Gospels and in the New Testament, they're always saying, may the grace and peace of the Lord be with you. Jesus said, peace be with you. You know, all these, they're always saying, peace be with you. Why? Because we can't walk in perfect love. We can't walk in the will of God when there is unrest and unsettlement and fear within us. We have to just know the word, know what God says. And when we know it, that's the truth. Fully persuaded, affirmed in our mind, and that's it. Peace. When we know the word, we have the foundation to stand on. The word says that Christ is the solid rock. He is the foundation, the cornerstone. So everything that we base our life off of should be built off of what the word says. So how do we stand firm? How do we have faith? We know the word, speak the word, hear the word, believe the word, receive the word. So we got to know it. If we don't know it, we don't know what it is that we're even promised. I mean, we got to know it. Speak it, hear yourself, and you're going to watch this situation just begin to change because your peace will just, you know, peace be with you. Peace be with you, also with you. You know, whatever. The peace will be with you when you know the word. Sometimes I think, I mean, all the time we say stuff and we don't even realize, you know, what it is we're actually saying. You know, when I grew up in Catholic church, and they would always say, peace be with you, you know, peace be with you, and also with you, and blah, 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 whatever. And it was like, we need to be that way. Peace is with us. Peace is with us. Peace be with us. Hallelujah. So, something that Eric said that I thought was funny was, you know, he had said, what good is a promise if we never talk about it, if we never share it? And having children now and remembering being a child wasn't that long ago. But, you know, if you make a promise to your kids, especially when it's something they want, they tell everybody about it, right? Like, my mom said that we're going to go to the zoo if I'm really good and I'm going to be good. If I get good grades, then my mom's going to get me this or whatever. Like, you know, kids, there's no filter. When you promise a kid something, They tell everybody about it. And you're like, well, shoot, oh, I better do it because he's just telling everybody I better do it. It's the same with God. It's the same with God. If we have a promise, if we believe it, the word says, I believed in God, so I spoke. If we know our promise, then we should say it. And what did the parable of the persistent widow, the judge, you know, she kept going, going, going. He gave her justice. If we keep going to God and telling everybody, guess what my God's doing? Guess what God's going to do? The word says this. And I'm having it, and that's for me. And God is doing this in my life. What do you think he's going to do? He's not going to make himself look stupid. If we are speaking the word that he told us, that he gave to us, that's the truth, then we're going to have it. Now, I'm not saying, you know, start telling people that you're winning $1 million on the lottery or whatever. That's not in the word. What we believe, what the word says, for instance, the word says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So if you stand on that, and people ask you, you know, how's your family doing? Great, because as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. So what the word says, that's what I have. You know, we speak what the word says. How are you feeling? Well, I'm more than a conqueror. Christ took the stripes on the cross for my healing, and I'm great, great. Even if you don't feel it, substance of things hoped for, things not yet seen, right? Faith. When we speak in faith, we're creating by what we say. Hallelujah. So hold tightly to the hope we affirm. Declare it, speak it, say it, stand firm. Affirm our hope. When Eric was talking about this a couple weeks ago and we were talking about this, you know, sometimes I feel like Pastor Calvin, like I think of silly things. And you know, in my head I thought, because, you know, I have to affirm my hope because if I'm a soft, I'm not going to get it. You miss that? You have to be a firm. You can't be a soft because then you're not going to get it. Stand firm in the word. Stand firm. Stand firm. Resist the enemy and he will flee from you. You know, you stand firm. Stand your ground. God doesn't want softies. Like, yeah. The word says that if we're not strong, that then we just get tossed about by every new wave of doctrine, every thing that somebody says. And you know what? I mean, and Erica talked about this, the scripture where it says that even, you know, Satan's trying to deceive us every day by things that come into us, you know, things that we see, things that we hear. It's a battle. The word says it. It's a battle. And if we don't have our filters up, if we don't know what the word says, you know, then we get misled. And sometimes it's tricky. The other day I was hearing, I had heard some guy, I think he's dead now, I think, but it was some evangelist, it was some preacher guy from like another country, and like it was a story about like how thousands of people are following him and blah, 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 this thing, and he was, you know, speaking the word, but not quite right. There was a little bit of a, you know, something, and I was listening to him, and part of me, and praise the Lord, if I hadn't known the word, I would have been deceived. Part of me was like, yeah. And then I was like, no, that's not right. And the word says that the devil's even trying to deceive the elect, us. If we don't know, I mean, y'all know when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, right? So he fasted for 40 days and he was in the wilderness and the devil came and tempted him. What did the devil tell him? The word. The devil knows the scripture just the same, if not more than we do, because he needs to know how to twist and what to throw at us. But if we know what we know the truth. Jesus knew the truth regardless of the way that the devil tried to twist it and throw it at him. So we need to stand firm, resist. There's a battle going on to steal our faith. To steal our faith. You know, when Calvin had talked about this a couple weeks ago, it said to steal, dilute, and destroy our faith. There is, the devil is contending to steal, dilute, and destroy our faith by any means necessary. It's the truth, and we need to be aware. But faith gives action to God's power. Faith, our expectation, is the invitation for his manifestation. Our expectation of what the word says. God, your word says this, and I have it, and I believe it because you told me and you promised it to me. It's the invitation for his manifestation. John 10:10, most of us know that. So the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come to give life and life to the fullest. He's contending to steal our faith, corrupt it, dilute it, and get us to back off of what we're hoping for by any means necessary. It's a fight. The word said in Ephesians, we read it, that we do not fight against flesh and blood. It's not about me and you. But we got to fight back. We got to fight back. We got to know what the word says and stand on it. Yeah, I may feel like, I may feel sick in my body right now, but the word says. My finances may not look very good right now, but the word says. My family, my marriage life may not be in the right place where I want it to be, but the word says. And when the devil comes and he tries to get you to get off of your hope, well, the doctor said this. Well, look at the economy. Well, look at what your kids did now. You say, devil, you're a liar, and the word is the truth, and the word says that I am more than a conqueror, that I am called to be victorious, that I am the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and all those promises that the word says. Our walk isn't just about what we're fighting, it's about what we're fighting for. It's about the hope that we affirm. What are we declaring? So stand firm. Stand firm. It takes an effort. The word doesn't say to sit firm or lay firm or cower firm or whatever. It says to stand firm. Stand your ground. It takes an effort. When I was preparing this, God reminded me about, you guys know in the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? Yeah? Okay, so it's that monument where there's a tomb, and day and night, constantly, 24/7, 365 days a year, there are guards standing outside of that tomb. It's one of the highest honors that you can get to be a guard. There's, a rigorous screening process, not just everybody gets to do it. And it's, I was researching it online today when I was looking at it, and it's a really, really strenuous, training process. You have to memorize this whole manual about every, unknown soldier or every person that's in Arlington Cemetery. And, it's like all these things that you have to do. It's a 2-year commitment. You can't drink, you can't cuss, you can't do all these things. You have to, be super, super, not strict, but disciplined. And they do it willingly. It's an honor. It's an honor. Do we feel the same way when we stand firm? And these guys, this is through hurricane. This is rain, snow, sleet, hail, sunshine, whatever. They are there and they're standing. Rain in their face, they're standing. And they walk and they patrol the grounds, standing firm. And you know what? I mean, if they break their ranks, if they disgrace their position, they're removed, disgraced forever. It's such an honor for them to be able to do that. Do we count, you go to church and somebody tells you that you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't cuss, and you're like, well, they're just too religious. They're just judging me. They're just doing all these things. It's like, the word says that we live a life worthy of our calling, to live a life worthy of your calling. It is, when I was reading the description, it says that if these soldiers do not stand up to the standards of the office, they are removed. Removed. Now, we know that even when we mess up, God is faithful. Calvin talked about that. Even when we mess up, our God is faithful. But do we count it as an honor to stand for him day or night, contending, rain or shine, whether we feel like it, whether it's a good day or it's a bad day? God, I am standing firm. I mean, think about Job. Job, he lost everything. He lost everything. His wife even said, curse God and die. How's that for, spouse support, Sometimes we feel like that, curse God and die because everything is just bad. Everything is bad. But don't, because the word says the one who made the promise is faithful. The one who made the promise is faithful. Live a lifestyle worthy of our calling. Nobody made us sign up for this. Nobody made you, when you're little, my parents would drag me to church and whatever, and so technically, they made me come. But in your heart, nobody makes you believe. Nobody makes you accept Jesus. And once we have, we need to realize the lifestyle that we've chosen for ourselves, the badge and the honor and the appointment that we've chosen for ourselves, and live a lifestyle worthy of that office. We are called to stand firm. We read in Ephesians that we are the faithful ones. We know in Isaiah, he declares us as oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display his splendor. So when everybody else is falling away, we are the oaks meant and called to stand firm, stand on the promise, affirm, declare our faith, because the one who made the promise is faithful. He made the promise and he is faithful. So whatever God has told us, he's faithful. And I just wanted to read something from the last evening service that we had. We met in the Sunshine Room instead of in here, and we just had a time of worship and prayer. And I don't remember exactly. Some of this God had given to me, and some of it was other things that other people were sharing when we were in the meeting. But I just believe that it's timely, and we need to hear it. What I wrote down receiving from the Spirit was, a wave is coming. Be alert. Your basket will run over, nets breaking to the full, more than enough, abundance of fish, abundance of souls. You cannot pray for so long and not receive. The wave is coming, the wave is coming, abundance and overflow. The devil will send distractions to keep us from being alert, but we have overcome. Just laugh at them when they come. They're just distractions. Sickness, losing things, they're just distractions. We will keep our attentions on you, Lord. We have overwhelming victory. Press down, shaking together, running over. Prepare your nets, batten down the hatches. There may have been pain in the night, catching nothing, but a new day is dawning. Joy comes with the morning. Prepare and be ready. God is telling us, and he told us, and I've said this numerous times, his glory is on the rise. Prepare, be ready. His glory is on the rise. It's increasing. God is always moving forward. He never goes back. He never takes back his word. He is going forward. He's on the rise. He's doing new things. And if we're not prepared in our hearts, we will not receive it. We're going to miss it. A wave is coming, you know. A wave is coming. I've never surfed, but I've seen a lot of surfing movies, okay? And when a wave is coming, you can choose, if it's a good one, you can choose to ride it or you just go over it. Or if you're not paying attention, bloop, you know. If we aren't paying attention, if we aren't ready to catch it when it's coming, when we see it, that's the right one. That's it. It's perfect. The set is coming. We're going to get it. If we're not ready to receive it, we miss it. So he's saying, my glory is on the rise. You can't have been praying for so long like that persistent widow, knocking and knocking at the door and not receive, because the one who made the promise is faithful. Stand firm, declare, our hope is in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. You know, most of you guys know that I work part-time as a nurse. And yesterday I was at work, and there's a lady there, and one of the aides was talking to her, and she's like, have you ever seen what she does? I'm like, no, what are you talking about? And, you know, she went up to the lady, and she said, you know, Mrs. whatever her name is, and she said, what do you want? And then she raised her hand, she said, justice. And it's funny, you know, it's this little old lady, she's sitting in a wheelchair, she says, justice. But it's the same with us. What do we want? What are we declaring? What are we standing on? The justice of our God. The word says that victory and vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not our place to fight. Yes, we fight, we stand firm, but it's not our place to take it all on ourselves, take the whole thing. We just give it to God. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes. God, we give you it all. You know our hopes, our fears, everything. You know the promises that you've given to us, and we just thank you that the one, you who made the promise, is faithful. You are faithful, and your word will go forth and accomplish its purpose, prospering wherever it goes. And so, Lord, right now, we just pray that your word would be planted in our hearts, ready in due season to come forth when we need it most, ready to come forth when we are in that hard situation. when there is doubt and fear and trouble in our face, that your word will be ready to come forth in due season and speak life over us and over whatever we're contending for. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. You are faithful. You cannot lie and you cannot change who you are. You are good and you are great. Lord, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right now, just don't be in a hurry. Don't be looking at me or looking around, whatever. Just close your eyes and just thank him. Thank him for his goodness. We sang today, how great is our God. Just tell him, Lord, you are great. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you are faithful. The word says that in the beginning was the word, and Jesus, you are the word. You were there. You are faithful. You are everything. You are all that I need. You are all that I hope for. And you who made the promises faithful. I thank you, Lord, that you are keeping your promise, that our eyes will see your goodness. We will see your glory. And you will get all the praise. It'll be for your honor, Lord. It's all for you. How much more do you love us than that unjust judge who didn't care about you or people, and yet he gave that widow justice? We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much more than that, and that you are giving us justice, and you are faithful to your word. Lord, we want to catch that wave, catch the wave of your glory. Let us be ready. Help us to be ready to see, to perceive what's you and what's not you. Hallelujah. If anybody needs prayer for anything, if you are here and you have not publicly confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come forward and do that tonight. There is so much for us. So much, so much for us. Ephesians 3:8 says that there are endless treasures in being with him. Endless treasures. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Or prayer for anything, whatever you need. This is time to come forward. If not, Lord, we just thank you. We worship you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you'll accomplish infinitely more than what we can ask or think. You are faithful, and you are good, and you are true. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I just want to encourage you. I hope that you were encouraged by this. God just had this burning in me that we're to stand firm. Stand firm, displaying his glory. Wherever we are, whatever situation we're in, he's faithful and his glory's on the rise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, the water's rising. Frank and Monica, can we pray for your family? Would that be all right? And I just feel like our church family needs to impart strength and courage to them. They have been through so much. They have a lot of things coming up. And when we look at all the obstacles, it's easy sometimes to, you know, sometimes we just lose faith and lose heart. And we can help impart that back to you. And I just feel, I'd like everybody that would like to come and gather around, come on up a little bit closer and give people a room to gather around you. I just want us as a church family to hold them up in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for this family. I thank you for their faith. I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing them through all of the battles that's come against them. Father, you're bringing them through. You're bringing them through to a place of victory. And Father, we just pray for an impartation of the Holy Ghost tonight. Impartation of encouragement and hope. We cast off the pain. We cast off those battle scars and the battle weariness. And Lord, we just ask that you infuse them today with hope. Infuse them with new courage and power of the Holy Ghost in their lives. Oh, Mahaleshe, nuevas fuerzas. Oh, Holy Me. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, Rahaya Shini Behiro Moai. Hole Kea Ramoya Nea Bafronde La Bashe. Free, 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 totally acquitted, totally acquitted. Oh, free, 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 favor, 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 favor with the judge, favor in court, favor of God and man. Father, let your favor cover Frank and his family like a blanket. Favor, 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 the light of God. Borrahini mi o mananaya she. Hole kabashin doromo haile.
When we come to Jesus, like for the first time, when we're born again, we get old enough that we make a commitment to serve Christ, and we come to that place where we call getting saved or being born again. One of the things we do, we make Jesus Lord of our life. You know, using the word Lord there is like he becomes the boss of our life, the guide of our life, the director of our life. He's Redeemer, he's Savior, he's Healer, all these things. But he also becomes the chief, the main man. And we use that term Lord. It's religious, used in religious circles quite freely. Jesus is our Lord. And we've all said it. Jesus is Lord. And when we come to him, we make him Lord of our life. And Frank, and for all the family, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, make Jesus Lord of every situation. Whatever you face, whether it be positive or negative, you say, well, Jesus is Lord over that. You by your own confession, make him Lord of your life. Well, you by your own confession, make him Lord of over every situation. Somebody might say to you, well, such and such happened or such and such is going to happen. You say, well, Jesus is Lord over that. You know, and if it's something you haven't prayed about yet, well, just pray about it and make him Lord there in prayer. And then you can say it. You can confess it and say, well, Jesus is Lord over that. And, you know, if it's something comes and it looks real big, say, well, Jesus is Lord over that. You know, a mountain comes in your way and say, well, Jesus is Lord over that. And what you're doing, you're putting Jesus above everything. You're putting him above your victories. You're putting him above your challenges. You're putting him above everything that you face. Jesus is Lord over that. I've got a headache. Well, Jesus is Lord over that. You know, I need such and such. Well, Jesus is Lord over that. You bring, even mentally and verbally, you bring him to an ascent over everything that you confront. Everything. Everything. To the point where he's Lord of all. Lord of all. That's good for all of us, isn't it? Good for all of us. Everybody say, Jesus is my Lord, and he is Lord over everything in my life. He is Lord of all. Amen. Well, give about 50 people a big hug and a kiss, huh? Amen.